meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Oh, we got Drew and I are both a little bit depressed over John Ritter's passing away. I wouldn't say I was friends with John Ritter, but I certainly was friendly with him. Mm-hmm. And he liked me. I liked him, too, but I'm not sure why he liked me. But we did a pilot together in Orlando 5-6 years ago.
8 years ago, I think.
Six, 8 years ago. Yeah. It was a while ago.
Yeah, 95, 96, something like that.
It was just before Loveline, the TV show, went on.
Yeah.
And Ritter, at that time, had, you know, done his Three's Company and done his, like, Hooperman stuff, and was at a little bit of a lull. Like, there wasn't much going on if you, you know, obviously 8 Simple Rules had not come out yet, and I don't think Sling Blade had come out yet, or it was about to come out. And he was kind of... Well, he was on a plane with me, and we were both going to do a really crappy...
That says it all right there.
...pilot in Orlando. So that's how you know where we both were. But
well, no, it's interesting. I was on Good Morning America with him just before 8 Simple Rules came out, and he stopped and talked, shakes your hand, lets you... He feels like you know him. And then he...
Yeah.
And I mentioned that you had done the, you know, Adam did the pilot, and he remembered specific conversation you'd had. It said, say hi to him. I mean...
Yeah, yeah, such a such oh nice my guy. God, such yeah. a nice guy. And listen, everybody, you know, people do this thing all the time where they go, well, such and such has a reputation for being a prick, like Bill Maher, somebody like that. And but who knows? People talk in this town. Who knows who to believe? There's a lot of people with a lot of agendas. Well, if you don't believe Bill Maher's a prick, then you shouldn't believe that John Ritter's a nice guy.
Right.
And you should believe John Ritter's a nice guy.
Right.
I mean, I like Bill Maher. I'm just in terms of talk, there are people who are considered a-holes and pricks and bitches in this business, and believe it, they are. And then there are guys like John Ritter and Henry Winkler and a handful of other guys, which are known as really nice guys.
And they really, but they really, really are.
I just mean they yeah. earn it the same yeah. way the pricks earn their horrible reputation. John Ritter... you know, like I said, I did a pilot with him, and it's kind of actually interesting if you fly with somebody because you're sort of forced to sit next to them for 5 hours at a time.
You tell him about your mother?
And we got in a little talk.
Yeah, of course.
We had a little talk. Had a couple of highballs. I opened up.
Oh, this is what gave him his aneurysm.
He told me a couple of things. Probably wouldn't want me repeating on the air. But then I ran into him. Well, I'd seen him periodically through the years, but I saw him at a Super Bowl. ABC Super Bowl thing when Jimmy was launching a show last year, and he brings his kids, and he wants to go out to dinner, and he wants to introduce to the kids and this and that. And then I saw him at the 50th anniversary of ABC that was just a few months ago. And just a warm, you know, way out of his way, nothing but heaping praise on you. It's great to see you, and when are we going to get together? And sweetest guy in the world. Just a shocking shame that he is gone.
And from something that probably could not have been prevented.
Right.
It's just one of them things.
Okay, so what happened to him?
I'm showing Adam a picture of the aorta here. They keep saying it's a heart problem, but it is, but only secondarily. Really, see this big vessel here?
That's the main vessel that comes from the heart?
Right. This outline here is the heart, that white shadow.
Right. You got the heart, then you got the main vessel that leaves the heart.
Right.
Is that where the blood is leaving from?
That's right, to get to the rest of your body.
Right.
And in his case, see all the different linings in that vessel?
Yeah, it looks like, you know, I'm looking at a picture. It looks like a hose that has like a rubber and then a Teflon and then a mesh on the outside of it, like three layers.
The inner surface rips and blood starts dissecting between the layers.
And it starts bulging.
And more than bulging, it just starts closing it off, basically, because there's these things. And you see these arteries coming off the big vessel?
Yeah.
Those are what...
It's great radio.
Well, they get the idea. This is what supplies the heart.
Okay,
and
so...
they get cut off, too.
Okay, so now the blood that's leaving the heart, the aorta is the valve that for the exiting?
Yep.
What's the entrance?
Mitral.
Mitral.
Well, on the left side, anyway. It's, you know.
All right. Yeah, good time. So the only thing he felt was fatigue.
Yep.
So he felt fatigue at, like, I don't know, 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night. Then started throwing up.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did start throwing up, evidently. And now there's nothing. Now, you would just think you had the flu or some food poisoning or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't experiencing chest pains or anything, I don't think. Then you go to the hospital. Then what? They have to operate.
Oh, he was already unconscious, I'm sure, by then. He just boom.
And they started operating, or they never did.
Yeah, they started operating once they figured out what was going on. But by then, it's, you know, the heart stopped, everything's gone. I mean, it's just gone.
Ugh.
You have like 10 minutes to figure out what's going on and replace the aorta, basically.
So
and
I mean,
imagine the complexity of that.
Yeah, if this happens to you, you better be near a hospital.
He was right across the street.
You better be near a hospital, better be near people who want to take you immediately, just because you say you feel tired.
Right.
Which is
unheard of.
No, because if I ever tried that, and if you ever tried that, whoever was producing the show would walk in and start yelling at you and tell you to rally and get the hell back out there.
You would tell me.
I would tell you to do that. All right. All right.
Yeah,
but, Drew, you'd be faking it. Ritter, he did it.
He did the real thing.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, John Ritter gone. Great guy. And we're going to miss him. We really will. Mm-hmm. Just a warm, warm guy. And whatever his persona was on TV, I mean, when you saw him being interviewed,
that's him.
When you saw his character on TV, that guy, that was him. Mm-hmm. And then more. Just friendly, always in a great mood, excited to see you, always want to introduce you to whoever was around him. Just a big loss. And then who's next? Johnny Cash. Didn't know him.
We didn't know Johnny Cash, but I get driven.
Did a pilot with him in Orlando.
I get driven crazy by the way the media is allowed the reports BS when it comes to people's medical stuff, and again they keep saying that John Ritter had a heart problem. Well, it was really a vascular problem, and then Johnny Cash, they say he died of diabetes and heart failure.
Now, how do you die of diabetes that way?
You don't.
What do you have? AIDS.
Well, respiratory failure means like some kind of pneumonia or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, the guy that age, yes, they're immune compromised from the diabetes, but
right. There's
another way that people commonly compromise their immunity and get severe pneumonias, and that involves a bottle. Now, I don't know if that's him or not. I don't know. But it's not diabetes.
Well, I mean, complications from alcohol, years of alcoholism.
I suspect it's more like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like you don't die of old age.
You don't
die of something.
Diabetes, right. Diabetes will give you heart disease and kidney disease and strokes. That's how diabetes gives you death,
mm-hmm.
Not respiratory failure, ever.
Right.
There's no way.
So you're saying there was booze involved with the day he died, or just
I don't
years?
Know. All I know is it wasn't diabetes and respiratory failure. So when people shroud stuff in sort of nonsense, I think, thinking, okay, what's going on here?
Right. What about just years of boozing and drug taking?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That could have been that.
Yeah, it's so weird. They our society always wants to hold people up as sort of poster children for things. Like, look, you don't want to end up like John Belushi, do you? You don't want to end up like River Phoenix, do you? You know, but then when a guy does die, and granted, he made it to 71, but maybe he could have made it to 81. Mm-hmm. But he had a whole life of boozing and drugging and smoking, and so he won at 71. But why don't they go ahead and point to the boozing and drugging and smoking and just do the math?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And as a smoker, think about all the people he took with him with the secondhand smoke.
300 million, right? No, wait, 300,000.
It's first-rate killer. First-rate. I mean, many celebrities went that way.
Many.
Secondhand smoke?
Of course, it's so common.
I think Chaplin went that way.
How could they be avoided with the statistics the way they are?
It's just impossible. You think statistically would have to take some celebrities eventually.
Of course.
All right, let's move forward and talk to, when Johnny Cash died, though, they were like, Johnny Cash, he was an alcoholic, he was a drug addict, he was a chain smoker, and he was horribly depressed his whole life. He wrote 1,500 songs. Like, wow, that's pretty good output for a guy who was paralyzed with depression. And drunk the entire time. He averaged like 40 songs a day. not bad for a guy who was drunk and high on heroin.
I don't think he was in a heroin addict.
He was in prescription drugs or whatever.
I agree with you.
Same thing.
Oh, speaking of which, if you're interested in learning about things like that, read my book, Cracked. It stands alone. It's a sort of a novel format, not the self-help book, and not even really about addiction. It's about human beings.
It's all about Johnny Cash.
He could fit into some of the profiles I described.
All right. See, I say not bad, though. I mean, the kind of life the guy led.
Yeah, why do we have to disparage it? Just call it what it is. You know what I'm saying?
He chose to drink. He chose to smoke. He chose to do drugs, and he made it to 71.
I think it's being judgmental to hide stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're judging it as, we don't want to talk about it. It's bad. No, it's just who he is, who he was. It's all right.
Right.
It's okay.
Right. All right.
1,500 songs. Good marriage.
Here's all I'm saying. If John Ritter, who evidently didn't drink and didn't smoke and didn't do any drugs, if he'd smoked and this happened to him, it would have been caused.
By the way, I can't think
blamed on the cigarettes.
He had to have been smoking because that's sort of one of the
never saw him. Wow. I mean, well, here's how I know John Ritter didn't smoke. I flew on a 5-hour flight with him. We got off a plane.
He didn't smoke.
We walked through the airport. We got in a car. We went to the hotel. Cigarette never came out.
Right.
And as smokers, when they get off the plane, the cigarette comes out.
Yeah.
Bethany?
Yes?
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay. And this is going to sound really bad. Even though I know I'm young, I cannot get an orgasm at all.
Right. So that would be sort of an average experience of somebody your age, right?
What do you mean?
Most 17-year-olds, not all, but most can't have orgasms. Women.
Not fair.
It's not fair, is it? I agree with you, but that's the way God constructed things. And it's probable.
You think God really focused on that?
She might as well understand it that way.
All right, put it in a context.
Probably you will never have orgasms with intercourse. Probably that will never happen. You'll have it with direct sexual contact, like with oral sex, that sort of thing, but not with intercourse. Because that's the way most women function. Although Cosmo would lead you to breathe otherwise.
Okay, Drew, relax, buddy.
Okay.
He's a little fired up. Right. Have you ever had one at your own hands?
Nope.
Okay, and
that's your first order of business.
Yeah,
but I've tried it. I can't get off on my own.
Yeah,
try the tub.
Doesn't
bathtub.
Work.
Yeah, try that bathtub water.
You know, another thing is that, like, no matter what, like, I'll have sex with my boyfriend a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, sex is great. Whatever, who cares? But I just...
Well, hold on. Stop right there. There again, gentlemen, if you're listening to this, is the vast divide between men and women. The women can have sex, not have an orgasm, have an experience of receptivity, and think, oh, that was great. Well,
yeah.
If a man doesn't bother if they're not going to have an orgasm.
Although she said...
Whatever.
It's
she
great,
said whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. She's getting angry now.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But the thing is that, like, I don't get aroused. Like, I try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a reason?
You're fine.
Well,
I don't know. Do you see somebody die?
My mom's dying right now.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. From alcoholism.
Got?
Something's wrong with her pancreas or liver or stomach lining.
Right. So alcoholism. Okay. Well, that's
a reason.
Put a little hitch in your giddy up.
Put a hitch in your giddy up. That it will do.
All right. But listen.
Alateen.
17, don't worry about it. Yes. Alateen, don't worry about the orgasm. Yes. Don't get pregnant. Things will work out.
Don't have sex if you're not aroused. You don't want to. You don't have to do that for the guy. You don't have to. No,
yes,
they don't.
Do.
No, they don't. Not all the time.
There's a decree that went out some years ago. I don't know if you heard about it. James?
Yes.
That's what I want, Drew. I want the governor. The governor is of governor of California, I want everything to be done on scroll and by decree. That's how I want it done.
Yes.
I want a speaker to pull out the big scroll.
Ring a big bell. Come back.
Gold
hear
leaf.
Ye, hear ye.
Yes. Yes. All right. That's what I would run on. My whole thing would be
the decree platform.
Yeah. Forget about what my message is. It's how it's delivered.
It will all be done by decree.
That's right.
Televised? No.
Yeah.
You have to come out to the town square.
You have to come out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have
think
some
of the
loudspeakers.
Utopia. Think of the utopia.
Greg, sorry. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. I have an opportunity to be in a threesome, and they're with friends of mine I've known for the last 10 years. They're
what
married.
What are the dudes' names?
But they, I don't know, they came to me about it, and I'm just really iffy about it.
It's a married couple?
Yes.
Yeah, that's weird. Because here's best case scenario. Best case scenario is you're humping your friend's wife while he's drunk and looking at you kind of cross-eyed and slowly moving his hand toward the reading lamp on the nightstand about ready to go over your head. That's good scenario.
Yeah.
Bad scenario, he's boning you.
Well, there's even a worse scenario, which he's instead of the lamp, he's reaching for his pistol, which is the next.
Well,
that's sort of his.
All
bad.
Right, Drew, please.
Yeah, but he's the one that approached me first and talked.
Yeah,
about
well,
it really
that's back to Adam's bad scenario now.
Well, I was just really questionable if I was wanting to do it. I mean,
unless you were hell bent on doing it, and even then, we'd discourage you from doing it.
Me and her used to date a long time ago in high school.
All right, so you already screwed her in high school, right?
Well, no, we didn't. That was just
all right. Oh, unfinished business. Okay, look, this is a chaotic couple. Stay away from them.
And dangerous. They're going to suck you into some stuff that you're going to be made responsible for that has nothing to do with you, or into activities that you don't want to do.
Look, I don't think I could. If I was screwing around with some chick who was married and she had a picture of her husband and family on the nightstand, I have to face it down. Mm-hmm. Drew knows. I mean, Drew's been through that routine a few times.
Oh, many times. Many times.
I couldn't imagine a guy standing around. I would find it way too distracting. Like a... do you like it when I do this? And you'd be like, it's she's good. Not that good. I mean, pretty good. She's medium good, Bill. I give her, she's a seven and a half to eight. Had better. But she's good. I'm going to bust a nut soon.
Is that okay?
Where would you like that, Bill? Is that on the chest, in the mouth? The sink? Yeah, I could do that, I think. like, what the hell would you do?
That's weird.
This is a nice comforter. You want me to put, like, a towel or something under my ass so I don't get, like, a hash mark on there? Your grandmother made this. Oh, she passed away. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that. Okay, well, I'll put a towel under me then. Okay, and Bill, you want to hump your wife for a while, or can I sort of finish up in the mouth?
Well, then it's like you and what would you like me to be doing?
Yeah, no, you're gonna bang her. Should I? Can I grab a nipple or?
What if he directs you?
You want me to cup your balls? Yeah, I mean, what do? Do you work it all out in advance?
Bohr diagram.
Yeah, it just seems weird. The two chicks in you—that's a no-brainer. It's like how bad could this go? Give me a worst-case scenario. I mean, chandelier lands on somebody. Maybe that's the worst that could happen. But basically, within the realm of reality, it's just chicks going at it. Maybe you're going, whatever. But the married couple is weird. Aaron?
Yeah.
You're 19?
I'm 19.
Now, you can't, Drew, there could be that kind of thing where me and you team somebody. You know, that's cool.
What?
Well, a third party. You know, we travel, whatever. We go to a campus, whatever. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's okay.
That's high comedy.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine.
Because we're good enough?
But
we're smart.
Yeah, but if it's your wife, it's bizarre.
Well, even if it's two women and one of them you're involved with, you got
a
problem.
Right. Aaron?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we've been dating about 5 months. And just the other day, she kind of walked in on me masturbating to porn, and now it's been a huge deal. Like, she says I was mentally cheating on her, and that things will never be the same, and that like, her initial reaction was to go out and cheat on me.
It's bogus.
And like, you know, our sex
he's lining
fine.
Up too many things. It's just
Aaron.
Yeah,
we're not feeling it, buddy.
What do you mean you're not feeling it?
Oh, now we're really not feeling it. It's you're bogus. You're not. There's nothing in you.
A worthy topic, yeah. Nonetheless.
Seemed good, but you're hollow.
But
you're
anyway.
Tin.
Well, I mean, you know, she's a stripper.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice try.
But no, it's just nothing. It's tin. You got no soul.
Let's deal in cases like this. What to do if the girlfriend is upset when the boyfriend likes porn?
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. She's like flipping out and thinks I'm cheating. I just don't understand.
Yeah, listen, Aaron, we don't believe you.
You know, what do you mean you don't believe me?
You made this call.
You made it up.
No, I totally didn't make it up. I swear on anything. She, we've been dating for about 5 months. We've had sex like the first, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the relationship, and our sex for, like 2 months was like great.
Where were you when she walked in?
Sitting on my computer, right at the desk, like right by the door. She opened the door, and it was just like, oh my god!
To your room?
And she just like
she lives with you?
Yeah.
You're 19. You live with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
And you're just beating off, even though you knew she was home, in your very small house.
No, I didn't know she was going to come home. Like, I had just talked to her about half an hour before.
Where was
she? She was over at a friend's house, and she said she wasn't going to be coming home. And she just wanted, I was getting ready to go to class, and, you know, just kind of all of a sudden did it. And
you didn't hear her come through the front door?
I had the windows open, and the fans were on, because I turned the AC off, and I just didn't even hear her come in.
All right, I'll buy it.
All right.
We're back on board with you, Aaron.
Maybe.
That's why, I put a cowbell around my wife. I want to know when she's coming up the steps, when she's coming through the door. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. And that's the thing. It's just like, I knew no one was going to be there. So, you know, I didn't lock the door. It was no. I just had no rehashing stuff way too much.
Yeah,
I know.
Aaron, you're just...
Well, wait a minute. We were talking about this before. And let me just say, okay, let me tell you a couple things, everybody. There has to be a Geneva Convention of bogus calls. And here's what that Geneva Convention is. It's ollie, ollie, oxen free. You know, if you get busted, you're busted. It's Marco Polo.
Yeah.
We have... Here's the whole
fish
thing.
Fish out of water. That's it. You're out.
But here's the Marco Polo rules that we need to infuse into the bogus calling, which is if you're going to play Marco Polo in the pool, you have to count on the person that's it keeping their eyes closed.
Yes.
You just have to keep your eyes. If you're going to peek, we can't do anything to stop you from peeking, and it's just unfair, and it ruins the game.
Yeah,
it ruins the game.
Yeah.
So here's the whole thing. Everyone is going to make bogus calls to this show. Please listen up. Here's the Geneva Convention of bogus calls. You cannot call in about...
Very serious.
My friend committed suicide last night. He's got AIDS. I'm dying. You know, you can't... I'm going to commit suicide. It's unfair.
And it's dangerous.
Thank you. Okay. That's number one. Number two, if you get busted, then you got to fess up. You can't keep it going. And people are usually pretty good at that. They just they don't confess as much as they run out of steam and they just go and they just hang up. Right. So if it is a bogus call and we call it bogus, that's the fish out of water call. You got to fess up to it, Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay. So not a bogus call.
Not a bogus call at all. Like this is I wouldn't wait on the phone here for 30 minutes.
All right.
Like,
he had the fan going. I'm with you.
I had the fan going, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I mean, I'm completely satisfied with my girlfriend. She's gorgeous.
Right.
Everyone tells me that. I mean, and it's not that, like, I was just, like, not satisfied, and I was resulting to that because I wasn't getting enough sex.
No, hey, relax, Aaron. You're always going to do that.
You tell her Dr. Drew said it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look.
It's not about her.
Right.
Guys do that. You can talk about it. Your thing about them having been with this long before
she
arrived.
Well, that's the thing. She's had kind of a rough life. And
real bad trust issues.
And it's just hard for her to understand. And it's just hard for me to explain to her. It's just like she thinks I was mentally cheating on her. I was like, I was imagining it was me. And it was, you know, I was wanting to do that. It's just, I just want something to get off.
She must expect... exploitation by men, or less abuse by men.
Yeah.
And so she's got to turn you into an abuser, even if you're not.
Here's the whole thing. Okay. What do you do? I know what I'd do. What do you do, Drew, when you have this?
What?
What's your easiest, simplest? You have somebody who has a history. They've been disappointed. They've been let down by daddy or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
There's issues here. They're going to come at you. They're going to make sort of, you're going to end up, they're going to end up engaging you in an argument that sort of you can't win because that's not really what they're arguing about. They're not going to therapy. You're 19 years old. You're living together. What's the best? I mean, I'm looking for a duct tape type fix here.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
The best you can do is not dance.
Right.
Just stay firm. Keep boundaries clear.
Like, if this was an automotive show, we should be saying you need a complete transmission rebuild now. But the guy's saying, I got $22 in my pocket and I need another 6 months out of this car.
That's right.
So what do we do? We put some stop a leak in there and add some fluid. I mean, this is what I'm talking about.
You don't dance. You just stay really clear that what you're doing is not, you're not being abusive. You're fine. Stay clear on who you are and what you're feeling because she's going to try to get under your skin every way possible.
Yes.
And I feel
these people almost feel better when they're controlled a little bit.
If you are able to set firm limits with them, yes, they will feel more cared for, actually, if you can contain it. But sometimes I'm not sure Aaron's got that in him. And if she feels that she's not completely contained, she'll erupt even
all
more.
Right. So, short and sweet, this is, I've done this, I did this before I met you. Lord knows I'll do it after I met you. Every guy does it.
Stay firm.
This ain't about you, it's about me and my nutsack.
And?
Butt out.
Yeah.
And just... go deal with it. All right, fine. We'll take a quick break. I would say I was looking at my own reflection on the monitor screen that's who I was beating off to. I wasn't picturing me with other women. And, Drew, do you have to be there? I mean, there's two different schools of beating off, you know. When I beat off and I'm looking at porn, I'm not there.
No.
I'm just looking at porn. I'm not infusing myself into the situation. Right. I mean, I'm not...
Men just like to look, period.
Yeah, I'm just looking at pictures of naked women. They can't.
That's like...
Bouncy.
I know. Yeah. Women are great. Women are nuts. They're like, I masturbate. Yeah? Who, to who? I don't know. They don't have heads or faces.
Or bodies.
It's like, or bodies. It's like, who? What are you whacking off to? A ghost? It's just a feeling. It's like, oh, my God. Really? You can't just pick a guy out from the office and have him go down on you? No, he didn't have a face. I didn't know who it was. Really? I didn't know it could have been a fat dude. All right.
That's how Ron Jeremy gets his
right.
job.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ralph Garman in here tomorrow night from the K-Rock Morning Show out here in Los Angeles, and also Joe Schmo. It is Joe Schmo, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I was thinking Joe Blow, but no. Joe Schmo. Ralph's my old roommate from many years ago, so it'll be good to have him in tomorrow night. And Wilmer Valderrama is going to be in here, and AFI will be in here, and Andy Dick, Nickelback, Dashboard Confessional, Sarah Rue. Cheap Trick. Everyone's coming in the next week or so, so that's good news. All right, where are we, Drew?
Right there on three.
Let me just say something about something I just want to point out to everybody. As you know, I'm always thinking about government and, you know, that the gubernatorial race and all that kind of stuff. There's a, the 10 freeway here is the freeway we take here in Los Angeles to get to work. Naturally, the off-ramp that would be most suitable for us is been closed down.
For 8 months.
Been closed down for 8 months.
Yeah.
And it's got to be some sort of... record for off-ramp being closed. Off-ramps get closed for a weekend.
Yeah.
This has been closed for 8 months.
What the hell could they be doing on that off-ramp? Building a
garage? They're building I think they're building a ship or something on
yes.
it. Possibly a cruise liner. I have no goddamn idea what they're doing on that godforsaken ramp that is the only ramp that I've ever seen closed for more than a weekend.
And the only one
I need to use. And it's perpetually closed. But here's all I want to say, and this is all anyone needs to know about why communism doesn't work and why nothing works but the system we have out here, but not this ramp. Here's what you need to know. In 1994, we had a huge earthquake, and that huge earthquake destroyed the 10 freeway.
Really?
Oh, come on, Drew. How come you don't know anything?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
The 10 freeway was all left up. Okay. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that. I didn't have to take 10 in those days. Go ahead.
I didn't have to take it either.
Go ahead.
This whole stretch right where we are,
really?
Right where we take it.
Wow.
Completely effed up.
Wow.
And this... How come you not know that?
Because I wasn't driving out here in those days. I was back in Burbank.
All right. Okay, we're going to get in this during a commercial. But the 10 freeway completely effed up. Uh-huh. And the 10 freeway being completely effed up is going to take this town that's already almost ground to a halt and actually make it move in reverse.
Yeah.
Actually, the calendar would start going the wrong way and the
clock
seasons
backwards.
Would start moving and the earth would... And you'd see old men with their beards going up and getting younger now. So they were like... We got to fix this 10 freeway, and we got to fix this 10 freeway as fast as we possibly can.
Yeah.
So what they did is they hired a contractor, and they said, like, okay, if you can have it done in 5 months, that's great. But for each day or week in front of that 5 months, we're going to give you, like, $10,000 or $100,000. And the contractor finished it in, like, 7 weeks and pocketed $5 million. Mm. And everyone was happy because, good, we got the freeway back up and running. And good, this guy can have his extra money if he's going to come in 3 months ahead of schedule. And fine, the city's back up and running. That's how the system works.
Yes.
Yeah. You tell that contractor, hey, finish whenever you goddamn well, please, and we'll pay you the same. It doesn't matter. The freeway would still be closed. So here's the irony. The freeway that the ramp is closed on, the entire freeway was fixed. In one-third the time, the single ramp is taking to be fixed. And I'll tell you why. Zero incentive. Just a bunch of fat guys on the city payroll up there doing God knows what, probably playing grab ass and sitting on cones. Okay? That's what happens. You take a bunch of guys, you go, we'll give you $50 an hour plus golden time plus good health benefits, and finish the ramp when you're done with the ramp. Well, what, ramp never gets finished. That's how it works. The one ramp out of commission, 6 months longer than the whole freeway took to rebuild. That's what incentive is, everybody, or lack of incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's the human.
Thank you. Now, look at that ramp is Russia, Cuba, communist and socialist countries. Look at the 10 freeway is this country. That's what it is. That propels people. Thank you. Derek, let me say this, too. Here's a problem I'm starting to have with the Democrats. They want to turn this whole state into that ramp.
Yes. Well, they're well on their way.
Yes, they're well on their way.
That's why we have that
I
ramp.
Want to turn the state into the 10 freeway.
Yes.
Where it's, you motivate.
The move your ass policy.
Move your ass. Don't worry, you'll be rewarded if you move your ass. But if you don't, you don't get anything. Fine. All right. Oops. Let's see. Let's talk. True, you really didn't know that freeway was down.
I'm sure. Maybe this speaks volumes about how quickly they got it fixed.
Yeah. All right. Nice save, by the way. That was a good save.
Thank you.
Derek?
Hello.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, okay, my fiance, she cheated on me with a guy that was in jail.
Really? It's just he poked his penis through the holes they usually talk to plexiglass?
Well,
or?
The way it started out was, her mother, who was visiting some guy up there, he introduced her to a guy that he was with, and they kind of started out as pen pals and things like that.
Uh-huh. How does that work when you set a guy up who's incarcerated? Is it like
with your mom? Is her mom?
I got a guy. He's so perfect for you. Now, just hear me out. He's tall. He's good.
She's Jewish.
He's good looking. Yes. He's well dressed. He's a perfect gentleman. He's incarcerated, but it's like,
hear me out.
Really? Just hear me out. Hear me out.
Well, she the mom must be Jewish. Right?
Hear me out. He works in the laundry. Yeah. He's got a good job. All right.
Well,
okay, so how do you cheat with someone who's incarcerated? Do they have to get out of prison in order to do this?
Yeah, I mean, once he got out, I mean, that's when it all happened.
I see.
So
right.
Why are you going to continue to...
Oh, you know he had a lot of stored up love, too.
Yeah,
I've known this girl, I mean, no joking. Me and her have been together since sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. As boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah, boyfriend and girlfriend since sixth grade.
Well, that's part of the problem here, it seems to me. And this is about an aggressive way, as she knows, to give you that message.
Yeah. Derek, do you guys have any kids together?
Uh-oh.
No.
Oh, good. Listen, Derek, what do you do for a living?
Well, I work for Standard Parking at the airport out here.
Okay, that's right. That's you're riding the crest of life, buddy. Let me explain something. This girl's a mistake. She will bring you down. This is not a good idea. I know you've been with her since the sixth grade, and it's all you know. Trust me, we know more than you do. You got to get out of this thing. And you'll never forgive her for this.
And it'll screw you up.
And
it's hard for you to even conceive of being without her, but it's what you need to do.
Can you do that, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole...
Yeah, you break up with her. Break up with her. That's it. No kids. Break up. It's fine.
Okay.
Listen, what do you do at the parking place? You work the gate? You work the booth?
No, actually, I do inventory. In which case, I'm at work now.
You must have chicks throwing themselves at you.
No, not really. I kind of keep to myself.
All right. I'm just saying, most chicks I know, they see that orange vest. They smell carbon monoxide on a man. It turns them on. All right, Derek, where can you meet women?
Well, I go out and hang out with the fellas and things like that.
So. All right, it's football season. You go to the bars, you meet the ladies.
Maybe guys have girlfriends, they have
friends. Yeah, they set you up, but this ain't the one for you.
And I'm sure all your buddies are telling you this, too, all of them.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
If he moves on.
Yeah, he's got to move on. Plus, he'll never forgive her.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah,
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up with your sperm, buddy?
I wish I knew. It's just kind of like extra chunky, I think, sometimes.
Chunky? Mm-hmm.
It's like a...
Tapioca?
Chunky?
Yeah. Smoke a little pot, too.
Smoke a little weed, did you?
No, not at all, actually.
Really?
Never smoked pot?
No, I have. I did, but not in a few years.
Not a regular thing.
It leaves that residual laugh. It's interesting.
Hmm.
Excuse me?
All right. You're calling from Nevada?
Yes, sir.
Where are you living in Nevada?
Up in Reno.
Reno. Beautiful country over there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you want to know what's up with the consistency? Only God knows, and he's
not
telling.
Yeah, it's normal. Some guys, you know, thick, thin, back and forth.
I like to mix it up.
Doesn't have any meaning.
You just never know.
Well, if you save it up, you get the chunkier, thicker.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I got that to look. Well, yeah. Actually, I know.
When?
I don't.
Yeah.
Mine comes out.
Made a run at it.
Mine
you
comes
could.
Out like a saline.
If it's not powder.
It's either in the powdered form or just saline. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's go back to the phones. And this call's been here for about 48 minutes. Call about blood, sweat, and tears. I'll tell you. People have listened to this show know I like to bust out a little blood, sweat, and tears. Old 70s band. No. Horn-driven music.
Anderson,
very strong.
Anderson
very strong.
You know on Lucretia McEvil.
I'll tell you, Cleto and the boys at Jimmy's on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
They probably love.
I hosted or co-hosted all week last week. You know, they play your song. They would play Vehicle for me.
Wow.
Nothing sounded better. You're coming out on stage. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Wow.
I mean, it sounded like big time, right? They did. They were doing some Cleto, the band leader, always listens to this show, and they were doing some blood, sweat, and tears. They did a little go down gambling.
Oh, that's awesome!
Oh no, wait a minute. Yeah, I think they did a little go down gambling, a little Lucretia McEvil. Good riffs.
Can we hear a little bit of that in the background?
Good horn driven riffs.
Just so people understand what we're talking about.
He's got to go dig it out.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now?
Well, I just we're not going to go off on it. Just so people get a
after last time, Drew. There's no way I'm going to touch that CD ever again.
Do you have any of that, Anderson?
No, we threw it away.
All right. Come on, get that thing out. Just put it on in the background. William?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yep.
What's up?
No, me and my parents and my brother saw Blood, Sweat, and Tears in town in Hanford recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they do Lucretia McEvil?
They did all of them. They did all their big hits.
Go Down Gambling?
Go Down Gambling. They did some other stuff from, like, all those old jazz guys. Like
Old
being the key word.
Yeah. Were they good?
Oh, yeah. They rocked the house.
Yeah. Let me just tell you something, all you young whippersnappers out there. New music can be good. Old music can be good, too. New movies can be good, and new movies can suck. There's a lot of bands that are good, like good new movies, and then there are a lot of bands that suck, and they're not good just because they're new, just like a movie isn't good because it's new. Godfather, it's a good movie. It's 30 years old, and then it's a good movie. You don't have to pretend like it's bad now because it's 30 years old. Okay. There's bands that are out now that are good now that 30 years from now will still be good. They're not bad just because they're old.
Yep.
Thank you. And I'm tired of us pretending like everything that's old is bad just because we're on some new wave stations, wherever the hell we're on. Screw that. There's stuff out now that sucks, and you'd be better off listening to some of the old stuff. Thank you. Please pretend like I'm 19. Hey, Drew, when are we going snowboarding?
What's
kiss
up,
my
William?
Ass.
William, is that it? Just say you enjoyed it? William?
Yeah. No, it's just like you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
Somebody asked about the Israel call the other day.
All right, so William, you saw Blood, Sweat, and Tears and you enjoyed them.
Oh, yeah, they were awesome.
All right, buddy. Yeah, you can't go wrong with those horns, can you?
Oh, no. And yeah, because the reason I got into them was when I was in junior high, my director, he got me into them because I played trumpet in jazz band.
Ah, you still playing? Well, you're 14.
Yeah.
Still playing the horn?
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's when he was in junior high school.
Yeah, way
at
back
least a year ago.
Way back in 2002. Calling all nerds. No. All right, buddy.
No, I'm a sophomore now.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Okay, good times.
You too.
All right. Never got the U2 reply to good times. Likewise, I'm sure. All right, let's keep a rolling. Craig?
Oh, hi.
You're 23?
Yeah. I want to tell you guys I respect both of you and like both of you a lot.
Thanks, Craig.
I don't know where I would have been without all your masturbation advice, Adam.
Thank you.
The question I got is for Drew. There's a speaker coming to my college campus, and his basic premise of his talk is that people choose to be addicted, and that the disease model of addiction is off, and that it's kind of a conspiracy for...
You need to ask that person how... First of all, I hope you'll read my book, because that will arm you with everything you pretty much need to understand what happens to people that are ill with this condition.
Okay.
And secondly, ask him how much experience he's had treating drug addicts. I mean, what does he do? How does he do it? What is his approach? What's his success rate? What's the management
touché,
style?
True.
And what does the research that he's doing suggest about his modality? Because I'm sure he'll have none. And if it's some sort of conspiracy, why do state organizations, JCAHO, and people that are required to maintain standards of practice, Joint Commission on Hospital Accreditation.
Oh, well,
organizations that are responsible for maintaining qualities of practice, quality of care, why would they not get behind it if it worked? If it were good, why wouldn't we? Of course. I wish it were a choice. And all I have to do is convince my patients that they should stop.
It'd be great. There's a whole movement afoot with all this stuff, which is... especially with everyone talking about weight, obesity, and all that kind of stuff, where it's, look, forget about your genetics.
Oh, my God.
You can't change that. You know, you have to focus on what you can do and blah, blah, blah. But here's the question. I think their point is if you chalk it up to a disease, or if you chalk the weight gain up to genetics, or the alcoholism to genetics, if somebody just gave it to you, like they gave you a bad skin or a bad valve in your heart, then what are you going to do about it?
Then you're responsible for the treatment.
Right.
But you're not responsible for the disease.
Right. And I think what people are trying to do, maybe the Dr. Phils of the world whoever, I know, Drew can't stand it.
Well, you know what? I didn't used to be, but I'm getting that way because he's saying things that are so dangerous now, it's driving me insane.
Well, he's telling me how to lose weight now. But
Choose.
Yeah, just choose. Yeah. Everyone just chooses. But again, whenever they do these weight loss stories, they always show a picture of the poor girl when she was in the second grade, and she's a big bucket-headed, moon-faced lump, you know? It's like, what was she doing, eating too much in the second grade? You know what I mean? Like, no one could have eaten more than me in the second grade, and I wasn't fat.
There are very fine scientists researching obesity. And their opinion, really, people that spend their life studying this, they're not in the choice realm of the school of thought. In fact, they think it's a hormonal issue. It's an imbalance, sort of a feedback problem. That's why they're inventing hormones like ghrelin and blockers for that. They can block how your stomach communicates with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So you reset all these mechanisms. And yeah, there are behavioral components, and there is exercise and things you can do.
Right.
Everyone has, like, you know, maybe a 10% range that they can work within.
Yeah. Well, look, let me tell you what I'm getting at, which I've been doing some thinking on, and I think it's kind of interesting, is the sort of tribal scapegoating that we need to do as a society.
Absolutely.
And we need to make fat people feel like they deserve to be fat, that they're doing something wrong.
We need scapegoats.
And when somebody dies, we have to give them a reason, like, they shouldn't have been doing that, see what happens. Okay, you smoked. Oh, you lived with a guy who smoked?
Yeah.
Secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
You see what happens? This is you deserve it.
Yeah.
This is what happens. You drug addicts,
because
you're
scapegoating
weak.
Makes you feel empowered and like you can control things.
It doesn't make
you
feel out of control.
Right. That's right.
Oh, drug addicts, see, you're not strong enough to put the needle down. You're not strong enough to put the bottle down. You're not strong enough to put the snow cone down. You can't do it. On the other hand, I'm strong.
And we. They get a group. They get a group mentality going.
Right. It's really bizarre. And then it's to the point where we have to attack fat people and alcoholics and drug addicts and something.
Make them wrong.
We'll go at them and make them wrong, because the wronger they are, the righter we feel.
They become sacrificed for the scapegoating.
Yeah, fat people are fat because a certain percentage of this population is going to be fat. I mean, just that's well, it. Now, don't worry if you just play video games and eat popcorn shrimp.
Right, we need to improve
our
diet.
You're going to add your waistline.
Yes.
There's
we need to improve our diet and our exercise. No doubt about that.
No doubt about it. Yeah. But people, you know, look, in every fourth grade class, there's two fat kids. Those kids are going to be fat going all the way through, and that's it. And really, and by the same token, they're skinny people that they got veins in their stomach and they eat whatever they want all the time. That's just the way it is. Iggy Pop's Iggy Pop. It's not his diet. He doesn't need to write a book. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
I hope Craig, who called from Colorado, will either A, read my book and rebut that guy that's coming to speak to him, his school, B, allow me to come out there and rebut the guy.
Yeah, Craig's going to allow you to come out to Colorado.
I can do that.
See the mayor.
All right, anyway.
Okay. Or the governor. I guess you'd be the mayor of Boulder. Made my first football bet of the year.
Oh, yeah?
Lost my first football bet of the year.
Bet on the Raiders?
No. No, just here's how here's why I can't gamble. Here's why I can't gamble. Last Monday night, I said to Jimmy's bookie cousin, Cousin Sal, who's playing? It's Tampa and the Eagles. Oh, who's favored? The Eagles. Wow, the Eagles are favored. Yeah. Boy, Tampa just got done mopping up the Raiders to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going into their first game of the opening season, underdogs, 3-point underdogs. And he's like, yeah, they are. Eagles are at home. Eagles are supposed to be tough. I said, wow. Oh, well. Anyway, he's like, you want to put a bet in? I was like, I'm on a run. But, okay, so Tampa destroys the Eagles, of course. Then I go on and pick my wife's football pool this week. Go ahead and just pick every team. They'll win or cover or whatever. And then over at Jimmy's house today, and Cousin Sal says, it's a late game. You want to the late games are going to start soon. You want to get something in? Eagles are at home again. Eagles are playing New England, who got destroyed last week by Buffalo. And I'm like, Eagles are... Well, first off, Eagles were supposed to beat the Super Bowl champs just a week ago.
Right.
And they're at home again, and they got McNabb. They're like, the great defense and everything. Yeah, and it was like 2.5 or 3 points. Like, give me $100 on the Eagles at home against New England, who had been destroyed the week before by Buffalo. New England destroys the Eagles at home.
God.
It's like, I just realized, can you bet?
No.
Why bother betting? It's not going to work. I'm cursed.
You gotta think of it. A wedding is adult entertainment. It's not game of chance.
Yeah. No,
it's entertainment. If you're not entertained by it, don't do it.
Hey, listen, I have to be actually playing in the game for good or for bad in order to make it out any kind of outcome difference. If we're just flipping a coin, I'm going to lose every time.
Me too.
I'm cursed. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
All right.
I do.
Let's
feel your pain.
I did take Tampa in the Super Bowl for a couple of grand, though, last year. Just let it all ride kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. That wasn't a curse. Christine?
You lose it all this year.
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my question is, I guess, how long does sperm last in a girl's body?
72 hours.
Oh, I thought it was 7 days.
Well, 72, maybe up to 5 days.
Up to 5 days.
Do you know how many days 72 hours is, Christine?
I guess not. I think it's 3. Is it 3?
3 to 5. Yeah, up to 5 days.
Up to 5 days.
Oh, up to 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
why?
I guess, right now I just found out I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And I cheated on my boyfriend one time, it's the only time I did it.
I know. It's the same. It's the one time you cheat.
I felt so guilty that he was only in there for like 2 or 3 times, and that was it. I ended up like crying really bad, and he got out like really fast.
What do you mean 2 or 3 times?
Two
I mean,
three insertions?
Like, yeah.
In, out, in,
like
out.
If it was a...
Oil rig?
If it was an automatic sewing machine, just be 3 stitches.
Yeah, it was like really. He didn't like bust or anything.
What were you doing? Why were you doing that? If it's so upsetting to you, why'd you get yourself in that situation?
He was like an old friend, and I was me and my boyfriend got in a fight, and
Those friends! I love those male friends. These are the guys that wait like lions in the brush.
Hey, what's the matter?
Bad.
Do you need a shoulder to cry on, or
they're always there? They're there
too. Some balls to smack against your chin.
So I went to go get an ultrasound, and then I met with my doctor, and she has this like cycle wheel or something. So I kind of told her what my concern was, and she gave me the date of the probable conception, and it turned out to be the day that I was with that guy.
Well, what days were you with your boyfriend on the other side
of
that?
I was with him like 2 days before that,
It's actually more likely to be day of conception doesn't necessarily mean the day of intercourse.
So there could have been some sperm in there
hanging out. Yeah.
Were you using protection with your boyfriend?
No. No.
Listen, Dodo, what's your plan?
No.
You're not going to raise this kid, are you?
I wanted to keep it, but now that I'm not sure who's the
dad. Right. Good.
Good. Yeah, we're not going to take that doubt away from you then. This is a good plan.
Are the abortions a good plan?
I had one already, so I don't want to have another one.
You had an abortion or a kid?
I had one last year.
An abortion.
Yeah.
Isn't that a sign that you should be doing something different?
Hold on a second. What isn't this sort of, I hate to be harsh, but here goes, isn't this really the only definition of stupid in a real world sort of setting? Do you know what I mean? Don't we look
foolish
at tests?
Foolish and stupid can be different things.
I'm going stupid.
Stupid means cognitively impaired.
Foolish is when you run your car battery down 2 times by leaving the parking lights on.
This is
it
that.
Worked.
No,
this is getting pregnant. This is pregnant. This is stupid. You understand? I mean, when are we willing to pull the stupid flag and start waving it around? What's it going to take? I mean, you had the abortion last time. You're with this guy. You're not using protection with that guy.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. I mean, when is it okay to call someone stupid? Christine? You're going to have to. Okay, so you're getting another abortion then, right?
No, she wants to give this one for adoption.
Okay. Adoption?
No.
What do you want to do?
I want to keep it if I know who the dad is, depending on who's the dad.
Are you going to do paternity testing?
I'm in the process of looking at it, prenatal. I guess there's CVS and Amnio.
But that's dangerous for the pregnancy.
I wanted to know a little bit more, too,
It's not very dangerous, but you're a young person who wouldn't otherwise have an amnio. But why put the pregnancy in harm's way that way?
Well, how dangerous is the amnio?
I wanted the CVS. I didn't want the amnio.
What's CVS, the CVS?
That's what they called it, but I think they're swabbing inside, like in your cervix or something, sound as intrusive as the amnio.
Okay, can they do a paternity test long before the child is born?
Yeah,
they said they can get it either from the placenta if it's 8 to 10 weeks, or the amnio, which would be the early 16 weeks.
And then what do you do with your boyfriend? You're like, I'm going to need some DNA?
My friend, I've already told him the situation, so he's
going to get the DNA.
Do the testing.
If it's not his,
right,
then.
Yeah.
So. And what's up with you and your boyfriend, and what kind of horrible parents are you guys going to make, and what's going on?
Oh, my God. We have a lot of problems, so.
Yeah, so why bring a child into that, for God's sakes?
I don't know. I just can't have it.
Well, you better know, but it's really a serious issue.
You're 23, baby doll. You're not a 15-year-old mom. You're 23.
No.
Okay. So listen, start using.
Accepted him.
Please have a girl, please, and don't screw the kid up. And I just love the guys there to pick up the pieces, end up trying to get in.
Isn't that amazing? Guys are. I mean, they never disappoint on that one, do they?
It's always a tough move, though. I mean, most guys have had to do that sort of transition from. Look, I know what it's like to have a grandparent die as well. Sometimes you just need someone to hug. where you actually then try to feel a boob, like in the middle of the speech and the hug.
They try to take the bra off in the middle of it.
Try to get the bra off. It's like, and then to pretend like that's not what you wanted when they go, oh my God, you're Jerry, like, what are you doing? You're like, ah, I'm sorry. I didn't even know what that was.
I was so upset.
I was upset.
Thinking about grandma.
Thinking about grandma. It's like, you got to like backtrack and pretend like there was a third party that took the bra off. Like, yeah, I didn't want that either. I don't know what. No, you're right. I like when you agree too. Now, humping you, that'd be a horrible, horrible. You're right. It's a horrible idea. Okay, listen, I got to go. I got to go beat off in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, that's it. Oh, I love guys.
Guys, just do not disappoint.
Ashley?
Yes?
It's great. Like, she starts crying, so it's like, okay, just three more humps. Just three more. You're 15?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay, the other day, my mom and I were having this conversation because, you know, I was having a problem with a cigar or whatever, and she confronted me.
You're having trouble with what?
A cigar?
With, like, a guy or whatever.
A guy.
That's just a cigar, too.
And she confronted me, and she said that she didn't know how sexually active I was, but she wasn't going to ask. But she told me that when she was my age, she actually had a pregnancy scare, and that she didn't want me to go through that, and she asked me if I needed birth control.
This is your mom.
And I said that I didn't need it. But she asked me if I would, like, within the next year, and I said maybe. And now she's going to make an appointment to, like, go to the doctor and, you know, get, like, a prescription or whatever.
Stop. Are you okay with all this?
Well, I don't know, because I don't think I'm going to need it. But it's just, like, she said within the next year, and I didn't know if I would, but I've had the opportunity before.
But it's nice of your mom to stay on top of this, right?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I've had the opportunity, and I might have taken it, but I was like, my parents kind of scared me with sex.
How?
And they say, like, it's a bad
thing. I'm taking notes. Do they? What do they say specifically?
Well, my dad was, like, really bad when he was younger, and so he was, like, having sex when he was, like, 13, and he told me this, but he scares me about it and says, like, you know, you can't do it, and if you do, I'll get, like, really mad or whatever if you get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. So that's why she doesn't want to take the birth control pill. See how this works?
Yeah.
Not she's not going to be sexually active. She's just not going to take the birth control pill.
Are you planning on being sexually active?
Well, I'm not planning on it, but I mean, if it happens, maybe.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it be better to be on birth control then?
Well,
wait a second.
So random? Hold on. Do you have a boyfriend?
Sort of.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of.
All right, but you're not sexually active with him?
No, not really yet.
Would you want to be?
This is a recent thing, so.
Would you want to be with him?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still getting to know him.
Okay, zero answers. Yeah. Here's it. Do you have a boyfriend?
Sort of, kind of.
Kind of. Are you sexually active with him? Sort of, not yet.
Not
kind
the
of. Not really, but sort of. But not yet.
Not this.
Do you
want to
be sexually active with him? Maybe, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you do this? Here's the deal. Do not have random, spontaneous sex. Have a relationship.
Yes.
When it comes to the point in the relationship where that looks like there's a road that's going to be crossed, the sexual road needs to be crossed, then get on the birth control.
Unfortunately, here's the reality. And you think about this. People do not disappoint, right?
Not when it comes to you punching the microphone.
That the dad saying I was sexually active at 13 immediately puts Ashley in the I'm going to be sexually active at 13 category. Dad scaring the S out of her. Make sure that when she does get active, it's going to be a little FU in it too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, okay, now I'm going to do it. I'm not going to plan for it. I'm going to get pregnant because pregnancy is the thing that dad absolutely hates.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what that is.
Yeah.
She's got to get on the birth control pill and stay it on, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Because Ashley is really at risk.
Okay. All right. And she's with a guy. It sounds like she's getting
and it's like
getting
it's like she's
to
unwilling
it.
To plan, unwilling to sort of project or to assert herself.
Yeah.
It could happen. I don't know. Maybe so. Well, the reality is, I'm mad at Dad for scaring the hell out of me about sex. And he was 13. He was acting. What the hell's the matter with him that I can't be? And
this is gonna
he doesn't want me to get
me.
Pregnant.
That's
so
what my daughter's going to do. I have such a rich, rich history. I just go through life. Predicting things and saying, like, please tell me if this is going to happen or don't do this because that'll happen. Or if it is, being completely reasonable about the whole thing and then just having it happen. That's how I go through my life. Drew, when you were late for this show last week when you did Jimmy Kimmel Live, all I did was the whole day kept saying, Drew has to be out by 20 of.
Yes.
Drew has to be out by 20 of. I was on the phone with people. That's all I kept saying. It's like the more I damned it not to happen by just doing it.
Yes. So it was your fault. I, too, as 9:25 rolled around and I wasn't up there in the set, I thought, okay, this is, we're screwed.
All right. We got to talk off the air about this because I'm angry at a few people. Right. Ryan?
Yeah.
I'm 23. Mm-hmm. I'm 23. You're 23. What's up?
I just kind of had a question for you guys. I heard you talking about the fact that you can't really, you know, control your own addictions and things like that, and I kind of disagree, but I guess I wanted to ask Dr. Drew if how much he feels like you kind of can control your own, you know, emotions.
You can control whether or not you get going with drugs and alcohol. And people and people with the genetic predisposition for the disease of addiction have long periods of time, depending on what drug they're using, where they can control it and sort of potentially could stop the disease from evolving. But once the National Institute on Drug Abuse had a saying that addiction is a brain disease, and he had this big brain with a switch on it. You always say, once that switch is thrown, then it's over. Then the motivational priorities of the brain have been permanently altered biologically. And so everything, all the survival mechanisms now get focused on pursuing the drug. And there's nothing they can do about it.
Now, does that also apply to things that are maybe a little bit, I mean, I can see how drugs and alcohol might actually change the chemistry of the brain, but what if it's
behavior?
Oh, decisions maybe to kind of get with the wrong type of girl or, you know, vice versa, things like that.
I think it is, in fact, I just wrote an article for USA Weekend that it's a little bit, actually makes me angry to toss around the term addiction for things that really are not addicting.
Cheapest is the word.
Right. Cheapest
the word,
yeah.
There are behavioral addictions, there's no doubt about it, but they are very, very specific things, and people overuse the term. Please read my book, Cracked. It will give you a perspective, a experiential trip through this disease and how it works and affects people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, well, it's...
good times, huh?
It's good times. It seems like in the last couple of years, but especially the last few months, we've really gone nuts with focusing on addiction. Addiction to food, addiction to sex, addiction to drugs. It's always the wrong way, but I just, you know, we got to interview Dr. Phil, and he's going to tell everyone how to live.
I
just mean, there's been a huge focus on this. I know there's always been a focus on it, but it seems like it's really kicked up just over the last few months even.
Really?
I've been noticing it.
At least you're hearing from me all the time.
No, I've been noticing it as it pertains to food and obesity and diet and that kind of stuff.
Well, there's a big push, and not some of the national organizations are trying to deal with the obesity problem, which really is an issue of dietary priorities. You know, what people like to eat as opposed to what they should eat.
Right.
I've stood behind people like a 7-Eleven and watched them. I can't believe what they pile up on just for a snack. I'll have a Slurpee and an Abba Zaba, give me those corn dogs. Oh, yeah, those chips. I mean, just thousands of calories. It's like, wow, come on.
I'm amazed in what adults eat.
Yeah.
And marginally offended. Yeah. Really.
No, this was an adult I was standing by. Yeah. They got, you know.
But here's the whole thing. Like, look, I'm all for pounding a few calories, but make it count. I mean, eat. You know, don't go to 7-Eleven, get one of those crap dogs.
You know what that stuff really is? And if Phil has any shred of dignity, he'll include this in his recommendations, is that people have severe difficulties regulating their feelings. They can't feel good. They feel awful all the time, and this makes you feel good. You feel good in those moments. You're just eating that gratifying stuff.
Yeah, eating 89 cents worth of pig snout, though, is not for me.
You know, but...
Yeah, well, I feel good. I just want to get a decent piece of pie. Let me, don't get me going on the cake and the pie, but we had a couple of parties. When you work in TV, you have to celebrate everyone's birthday.
Always with a sheet cake.
Always with a sheet cake. And, hold your tongue and say sheet cake, and you will get the proper pronunciation of sheet cake. But... the white sheet cake with the vanilla and white frosting on it, and two of them in 1 week. And it's like, well, hold on. What grade are we in? What are we supposed to do with this? There's nothing. I can't do anything with this. Listen, everybody listen to me, please. Get a goddamn pie instead of that sheet cake, please. And if you can't afford it or you don't have access to it, at least get the chocolate sheet cake. We'll warm up some coffee and we'll push that chocolate down. It'll be fine. I think everyone can tolerate a little chocolate sheet cake, even if it's not high quality cake. You can eat a square of that stuff. It'll satisfy some need in you. Yeah. The white stuff with the white frosting, nothing. It does nothing. I went and pitched a fit. These are like all the writers are sitting around Jimmy Kimmel. We're sitting around the table. There's 14 guys sitting around there. Average age 37. Average education, master's degree. And here comes the $4 worth of Ralph's bought white sheet. Don't get the white. Nobody wants it. And then here's what we end up doing. Everyone ends up eating it, but not enjoying it. And it's exact calorically. It's as if you'd had something you did enjoy, except for you hated this. Yeah. So now you're screwed. Thank you.
Yeah, well. Good
all
times,
right.
though, huh?
All right. It's good times.
Take a break?
Okay, but I'm not done with the sheet cake off the air, Drew.
Well, no, you and I have a lot more to go. About the 925.
We got a lot.
Yeah.
We got a lot more to go on the sheet cake. The white one. Does anybody. Let me ask everybody.
I like it a little bit.
Okay. It's a little bit.
Yes.
But
two in
not,
a week, too much.
Not better. If you
not
got,
better than apple pie.
Okay, but listen. If you got $8 to spend on a cake, spend the $8 on the chocolate cake.
Yes.
Or get a lemon something or something.
A flavor,
just the
flavor.
Plain vanilla with the white frosting and the red sprinkles on it. That's zero. Those are for animals. Those are for raccoons and stoned 13-year-olds. And 9-year-olds with learning disabilities. Those aren't for adults. The adults shouldn't enjoy that. They just can't. Or they're for adults who have, suffered some trauma about the head and don't think straight. But regular, right-thinking adults don't like that crap. We don't like the white cupcakes. We don't like any of that. We want pie. Let's get some pie going. I'm convinced. And here's the other thing, too, that's driving me nuts. The cake comes with the novelty candles that can't be blown out.
Ugh.
Now, who's the joke on? Is it the birthday boy or is it the other 11 people that are getting tuberculosis from this guy hacking
spitting
a lung up on the top of the cake that he's now going to spread around?
Yeah.
And so this guy's like this, like, happy birthday. Okay, all right. Oh, man. I mean, it's like there's green spittle coming out of the guy's nose all over the goddamn frosting, as well as the little pieces of wax that are popping off the can. It's like, oh, man, is that funny. Yeah, why don't you just have him take an ass on it? And we'll divvy that up. How old are we? We're in our 30s. What are we doing? Holy Christ. It's like, all right, we have the world's worst goddamn sheet cake with a ton of phlegm on it. Who's in? Yeah. How about you just take a corn cob, push it up your ass, and I'll just suck on that. It's sort of a somewhere in between the sheet cake and death. Jesus Christ. They buying that. All right. I'm angry, Drew. I'm too fired up about it. But two of those cakes showed up in a row at the Kimmel's this week.
Wow. I blame you.
It's an assault.
You should have intercepted.
Everyone just get pie. Just get pie.
Without
so
candles.
Much easier.
With regular candles.
No candles.
Blowing out candles. One candle.
Once you crack 35, you don't need the candles. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Corey, who's 20. Corey?
Yes.
Female Corey?
No, female.
Female Corey?
Excuse me?
Okay.
What's up, baby doll?
Okay. My problem is, my senior year in high school, like, I kind of turned into a bit of a whore.
What does that mean?
Like, I slept around a lot.
How many times? How many different guys?
Yeah, like, I never had any relationships or anything.
How many different guys?
Quite a few.
Hang on. How many? Say your senior year. How many?
My senior year, okay, well, from my senior year until now, there's been, I don't know, like 15 or so.
You stinking whore!
15. Okay, now, see, you see why it was important to establish that? In my head, I was thinking she's thinking anywhere from 50 to 300.
Okay, no.
Okay, so it's 15 guys. Okay.
Well, that wasn't your senior year either.
Yeah, this is a 3-year run at 5 per year, right?
Right, but I was gone for a year, so it's kind of a 2-year thing.
Okay.
Where were you gone for a year?
I was in the Marine Corps.
All right. Can't get laid when you're... All right. Number 5. Hold on a second, too. Why is it with everybody, when you ask them a question, it's like, I was a whore when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Okay, how many did you sleep with your senior year? A lot. Well, tell us how many. Well, from my senior year to now,
I know. But anyway, the fact is she feels bad about it, and for her, she has to amplify it to make you feel how she's feeling.
The real problem is going in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm out now, so it's okay.
You're out. Why are you out?
it's kind of a long story.
What'd you do?
I got in a fight with my officer.
Fist fight? A real fight?
Mm-hmm.
With a female?
No, a male.
Oh, my God.
You got into a fist fight with a male officer?
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you make it out okay? I mean, I would think you'd get your ass kicked, no?
Yeah,
he didn't beat you up, or what happened? You attacked him?
Okay, I didn't really know he was on deck when I was kind of flipping out and in a bad mood, and he came to my door at my room, and I just didn't particularly want to see him at that moment, so I started throwing stuff at him to try to get him away from me, and he just wouldn't leave, and so he came in the room, and then I just kind of started swinging, not really thinking, and
Corey has a strange thought process. You see how that went? It went... I didn't really know he was on deck. Okay, I understand when he walked in the room, but once he was in the room, she knew he was in the room.
She recognized that as your commanding officer,
which suggests, Corey, that A, you tend to dissociate. You can't really control your emotions when they emerge, and you don't get connected with reality sometimes.
Okay, but see, by the time he was in the room, I was so mad it didn't really matter who he was.
Yeah, that's not normal. That's not normal.
Yeah, and by the way, that, I saw red is as good as an excuse as I'm a man trapped inside a woman's body or a woman trapped inside a man's body. That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, no, it's not an excuse. I'm just telling you why.
That's...
You're telling us why like it's an excuse.
Yeah, saying I heard voices or that I was commanded to do it. That's not a normal thing.
You recognize this guy was your commanding officer and you start throwing punches at him?
Yeah, you couldn't contain your aggression.
I just didn't want to.
Yeah. Oh, that's like my heroin addicts telling me they could stop using heroin. They just don't want to. It's the same thing.
I mean, listen. Whore. And I'm only saying that because it says it up on the screen. That's not your biggest problem. Containing your impulses is really what you got to look into.
Right.
But you were thrown out of the Marine Corps for fighting, for Christ's sake.
That wasn't the actual...
To me, that's a keeper, by the way. You go right to the front when I'm in charge.
That's right.
The official reason I was kicked out, but... It just that had a lot to do with it. But that's not even my problem. That's not even why I called.
We don't care why you called.
By the way.
Yeah. The fact that you opened with, I'm a whore, it wasn't like, hey, I'm sleeping around more than I like to and I can't seem to stop. It was, I'm a whore. And you understand how that would suggest really very extreme sexual activity. But what you have is just activity, unwanted, really, unwanted sexual contact.
Oh, no, it's wanted. It's just that, okay, when I'm the kind of person that after I've, had sex with somebody, I'm the first one out in the morning. Like, don't say bye, don't wake him up, just get out and, don't talk to him again. And that's not what I want. Like, I want to be in a relationship.
Hold on. Oh. Wait, you just said it's what you want.
You said it was wanted.
It's what I want, except...
No. The sex is wanted. It's just that the,
I know. We know you're not getting raped. We just... You want the sex, and then you feel bad about it.
Yeah, kind of.
That's what Drew meant by unwanted. But anyway.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
All right, good luck. It seems like you're just having a lot of impulse control problems in general, and this is one more of many bad ideas that you carry out.
This is all about shame. Shame is what organizes your personality right now.
All right, so what can she do quickly?
Are you an alcoholic or an addict also?
No.
What?
I mean, no, I drink a lot, but I'm not an alcoholic.
Is your dad or mom an alcoholic?
No. Preachers.
Okay. Preachers.
No.
Was it the, I mean, so you had some kind of an abuse, some sort of physical abuse or something?
Nope.
Really?
No.
You got to get a CAT scan, man.
Yeah, there's some trauma here somewhere.
Well, like, my dad passed away when I was 9, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's not good, but...
No one beat on you, huh?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of temper. Okay, Drew, just look.
I just
tell her what to
treatment.
Do. How about some therapy?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that would be the thing. It's not as though you can choose not to do these things because you don't want to do them. You want them to change, but you can't make those choices.
Right.
There's some thing driving. The drives are being uncontained. You can't contain impulses. You get these overwhelming feelings that propel you into things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
That all needs to be sorted through in therapy.
I'll tell you, seeing your commanding officer come into your room and start throwing ashtrays and punches at him
that's very serious. And she has to be a trauma survivor. She has to be. I don't see it any other way.
Her CO is a trauma survivor now.
Yeah, or bipolar maybe.
Yeah, there's something definitely up. And as a society, we don't make enough of that kind of stuff.
Which? I mean, we accept certain things as, oh, well, they were just having a bad day. We dismiss behavior that's really disturbed. We minimize it.
Yeah, there's F-ups and there's F-ups, like DUIs.
Yeah.
Never hold that against. See, here's the whole thing.
DUI is a bad sign in my world.
Oh, yeah, me, it's no big deal. But here's, circle the globe drunk a couple of times, I'm sure I have. Now, here's the whole thing.
No DUI.
Thank you.
But that speaks volumes. See, if somebody's getting detected... It means they're really outliers.
Well, let me explain something. I drive twice as good as normal people when I'm sober. So if I have a couple of beers, I'm on the road.
Whatever, you don't get
I'm just as back as I'm just as good as the crappy drivers at that point. I know it's a great, horrible message to send to people, but here's the reality. I'm a real good driver. I'm coordinated. That's why I drive like a maniac, and I've never been in an accident, because I'm skilled. That's fine. So, guy like me with a couple of beers, just still better driver than my dad. Stone cold sober. Plain and simple. That's the way it is. Not a politically correct message to send, but that's the message. That's what it is. I wish there was some factoring in of that.
Wait, what was the point you were making?
Okay. What was I saying?
I don't know. Something about DUIs.
Yes. Here's what I'm saying. Once in a while, somebody goes to a party, goes to a wedding, tilts a few too many, their wife tilted too many. This has happened to me. You go out somewhere with somebody. You know, I've told my wife, hey, listen, I'm planning on getting my booze on. So take it easy. Because then comes the end of the night, she's loaded. Mm. You know, now it's like, all right, now I got to drive. But if I clip somebody on a moped that didn't have reflectors on it on the way home that night when I was drunk, that wouldn't be, I would excuse me. I didn't do it intentionally. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know any alcoholics. You tried to plan. Circumstances turned against you.
Yeah. Here's what I mean is, let's say I killed somebody. I killed somebody.
How do you prove
it? Damien Football Williams pulls Reginald Denny out of his truck, lifts a cinder block over his head, and mashes it into the guy's skull while he's lying on the ground when Football Williams is sober.
Yeah.
That's a crazy, scary guy. Yeah. That's mentally deranged and freaky scary. The celebrity, and I'm not talking about me, but it's happened to a few, Rebecca Gayhart, you know her, she's a Naximomov, where she's behind somebody at a stop sign, the person's not moving, she darts around him, clips some little kid crossing the street. She should be punished, yes, but she doesn't scare me. You know what I mean? That's not somebody who goes after their commanding officer with a fist clench and flailing, that to me, slightly scary. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just know this, that
yeah.
when bad things happen legally around drugs and alcohol, that is a real serious sign. Trust me.
Oh, DUI?
Trust
me. It's a .08, Drew. Two beers get you a DUI. Oh, listen, here's the thing.
The outliers get detected. The other people that don't have problem containing it, they don't get detected.
Yeah. Well, that's good times. Yeah. Good time. Yeah, we maintain.
We.
Michaela?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my issue is, like, I'm not sexually active, but I find it, like, I'm very shy, or I find it very weird to, like, express yourself while you're having sex.
Mm-hmm. Verbally?
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to the guys?
Well, I just think I don't know. I just think.
Do you mean make noise?
Yeah, or just. Or directions and stuff, like which way to go, what feels better, what doesn't.
So you can't talk during a sexual encounter.
I just think it would be weird. Like, I haven't yet.
Good for you, honey.
You're 16.
Or, save me that ball gag.
Or, like, I've had, like, one of my guy friends, like, one time we were fooling around and, like, this dry humping or whatever, I thought it was funny, like, because... Or I laugh at it or something.
It's inappropriate stuff.
He doesn't think it's funny.
No.
Well, he's got his game face on.
Yeah, but when she starts laughing, that's not funny.
Oh, no. No. All right, do you have a boyfriend now?
No, I don't.
Maybe you shouldn't be sexually active.
Oh, I'm not.
All right, good.
Yeah.
You give it some time. When you stop laughing and start feeling like talking, that's a sign that you're ready to go.
My question is it normal to feel like very shy about it or?
You're young enough that all kinds of things could be going through your mind now about it. Just relax. Just stand back, and when it starts feeling comfortable, that's when you know that you're ready.
And there's a maturity progression thing that she may be just a little bit behind the curve,
yeah,
which
whatever.
Is fine.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Exactly.
Alternative is a 12-year-old who thinks she's ready to go.
Right, exactly.
Got her sexual game face
on.
That's
right.
All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ralph Garman is going to be here tomorrow night. Now, Ralph is the host of Joe Schmo, which is a new, you think it's a reality show, but it's not quite a reality show. It is for one guy, but not the rest of the cast. And he's going to be on tomorrow night. He's also Ralph of local K-Rock Flag Station Mothership morning show, and also my old roommate, long before any of this came around.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. Also is a boyfriend of Ginger Lynn for a while.
That's right.
Apparently still has a little something for Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
That's how Drew knew she was really sick. All right. Let's power forward here and speak to back to Michaela. Oh, we're done with Michaela. We already got into her crap.
Yeah.
Who do you want to talk to? John?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah. I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I had sex with a girl probably 3 or 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I just recently found out that she had genital warts at the time. And we used a condom, but I was just kind of worried. So I just want to know, what are the signs? Possibly.
You see little warts on your penis.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I've been, I kind of have, it itches more. I can tell.
Yeah,
if
you had a wart on your thumb.
Yeah.
Would you feel anything?
I don't know.
No.
I never had one.
All right, warts are completely without any symptoms at all.
You don't feel them. You see them.
You see them, yeah.
They just come out of nowhere.
And the problem... Yes, they come out of nowhere. The problem with warts is that you can still have the virus and not see the warts. That's the difficult thing.
All right, he used a condom.
Yeah, he's probably fine.
So let's just assume he's out of harm's way. All right, let's talk to Brandy. Brandy?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What is up?
Well, I was calling to tell y'all thank you. Y'all, the advice y'all gave me about 3 weeks ago when I called has helped save my marriage because Dr. Drew had told me that I needed to come clean with my husband and talk to him, and I did, and he was understanding, and now we are working through it because at the time I couldn't decide if I wanted him or to be with other women.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad it worked out. Everything. You guys getting any treatment or anything?
My husband would also like to thank y'all. Would that be okay?
Yeah, but how can you do, you're thanking y'all, and then you're saying Dr. Drew, and then y'all, and then Dr.
Adam
Drew.
Adam wants to know what he did.
Because the fact that you made woke me up.
Yeah.
There you go, Adam.
My special brand of tough love, my iron fist inside the velvet glove, as it were.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hang on just a second.
No, he wants to talk to us. I'm not expecting a good thing.
Yeah, I just want to tell you I really do appreciate it. I thought she wanted a divorce, but she broke down and said she wanted to work things out, so things went out for the better.
Good. I'm guessing you guys have kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's probably why we told you all.
To really,
y'all.
Really push ahead. Push ahead.
Good. I shouldn't say another Loveline success story. It's the first one we've had in the 9 years that I've been here. But well, at first,
Brad,
for Loveline,
and
yes.
I'm glad it's working out. But keep working. Then maybe not on your own. Maybe a little treatment here, a little couples counseling.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with couples, especially if they got kids. You run into some rough waters, you put a little work into it.
You listen, people, when they break up, get involved in the same kind of thing, you know, if they haven't had treatment anyway.
Right.
Just another version of the same person.
Shelly?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm calling because I kind of have a problem, like, holding on to my relationships and stuff. Like, I get into the relationship and it's going good or whatever, and then, like, I just get on this whole trip to, like, basically doom it all.
How many times has that happened?
Pretty much in every relationship.
How many times has that happened before?
Four or five.
Well, you're 17. And you know what? Your age
is what all 17-year-old girls do.
It's sort of normal. In a way, it's protective from getting too involved with somebody before you're really ready for that kind of relationship. It may be that you have trouble with intimacy. If you were never able to establish a sustained relationship, that's a problem. But at this stage, if you're just sort of getting in and then just not going all the way and dismissing it, that's a good thing. Because at 17, you're really not ready for a attached-to-the-hip kind of relationship.
All right, what do you think would be healthy, Drew? What would you wish for your daughter besides...
Eternal virginity?
Yes. And it's strange, a man of such exquisite passion wishing that on his own daughter. But what would you like...
Now, think about that statement.
What would you like... I know. And what would you like... It's compensation. What would you like for your daughter, for your sons... In high school, let's just say your sons, because I know your daughter.
I'd like them to have. I'd like them to date. I'd like them to have close relationships. I'd like them to sort of experiment physically. But it'd be nice if they could not have intercourse until like college. And, and then I know it's not necessarily realistic, but it'd be. You're asking what I like.
All right, what you'd like.
And
health wise, like, would you want your son to have a boy? A boyfriend, a girlfriend for like 6 months max. What's the max?
You really, like 4 months, yeah.
Bunch of 3 month relationships.
And, like a couple of 4 monthers. Like if they can get like 3 4-monthers in through high school.
So let's just say ninth grade through graduation.
3 4-month relationships.
3 4-month relationships.
That'd be good. And then some dating in between.
A little dating.
Because I think kids need to figure out who they are in a relationship and who they want. They need to be trying stuff on for size.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get joined at the hip and get stuck, then they're just clinging to a life preserver. They really don't know if they want to be in that or not.
Right. Okay.
Again, compensation.
All right. So, you know, one of them's going to hook up with somebody in the 10th grade, and then it's going to be it for 2 years into college.
I'd rather have that than them not having any relationships.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That's no party, let me tell you, brother. Tim?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
You're Catholic. You can't use condoms?
That's what they're saying, man.
What can you use?
Well, they're saying don't have sex is what they're saying.
Basically. Well, yeah.
What happens, even
for married couples, you know, if you're not trying to have kids, you know, like they talk about natural family planning, but it seems like there's so much work in this. I mean.
Well, not just work. It's inaccuracy. I mean, you can really get.
Right.
But now, what do you do when you masturbate?
I'm sorry?
What happens when you masturbate?
What happens when I masturbate?
Do you go to hell? Do you save your sperm?
If you save your sperm, it's cool. I've been doing that.
Well, you know. There's a couple of priests I've talked to. They debate about that. They say some say it's all right, you know, to a degree, you know.
Well, then maybe it's okay to use a condom, too.
If you can't have kids, like, you know what I'm saying?
No.
And they're trying to, you know, help you get a kid, then
yeah.
Some of them are a little shaky, but I tell you, it's
you don't want to waste your seed is the thing. And that's
right.
Why what you can do is when you beat off, you can do it like what I do it into. First I start with mayonnaise
jars. Arrowhead water bottle.
I moved on to Arrowhead, and now I'm up to pickle barrels. But also, if you then use a condom but just empty the contents back into the same barrel, it all makes sense. Listen, you can the Bible's like the IRS. You can beat them on technicalities.
People certainly do.
They do it all all day long.
That's what I'm saying here.
You can beat off, but you can't lose your seed
into the condom.
It's spirituality. It's the essence of spirituality, everybody. He's trying to beat the Bible on a technicality. Happens all the time. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but those, the Shiite Muslims, these with the 72 virgins
of it?
Insanity. Insanity. You not being able to use the condom? Now that makes sense. That's the right religion. Yeah, 72 virgins. That's a fairy tale. You over here with the can't use the condoms? That's just good fundamental thinking right there. That makes perfect sense. See, this is totally different, Drew. They're wrong in their religion.
I see.
We're right. You understand?
Oh, I see.
Because ours makes sense.
That's always very healthy thinking, us and them.
Yeah, I mean, think about their fantasy. They got this Allah over here. They got the virgins and all that. We have plausible things like burning bushes, delivering information, departing of Red Seas, water and the wine. We have things that did actually happen. Not this crazy 72 virgin stuff. You see what I mean? We're going to be living in, you know, God's mansion. I mean, the streets are going to be paved with gold.
Of course.
But,
at the judgment day, when all the dead bodies raise up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then people spend time in purgatory while they're waiting. Whatever. The point is whatever, ours is completely plausible. Ours is fact. You see what I mean? Them, it's like some crazy fantasy. You look into it, Drew. You know what I'm talking about. All right, so we're going to take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. Well, that's the show. We're just walking by the other radio station. Heard a good song coming out of the hallway.
I thought to myself,
what is going on? They're playing Excitable Boy by Warren Zevon. That is not Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood. How could this be? And then I realized, he died. So hopefully Warren will die almost every week, and we'll get to hear some Excitable Boy coming out of the sister station down the hall.
The guest tomorrow night.
Yes, Ralph Garman, old roommate, everybody.
Later this week.
Plenty to talk about. Wilmer Valderrama, AFI is going to be here, Andy Dick, Nickelback, Dashboard Confessional, lots of big celebrities, all thanks to producer Ann coming in here in the next week or weeks. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. We're in our 30s! What are we doing?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.